This Day of Reflection for Women was given by Father Christopher Kubat on Ash Wednesday, March 1st, 2017, on the topic of the meaning of suffering. These and other recordings are available at our website, goodcounselretreat.com.
Well, good morning. How do you like these ashes? You know, if you don't go big, don't go at all. Do you know I give instructions on how to apply ashes? I've been a priest almost 20 years, and I did the best job administering ashes so far, so I promise you, yours is going to look like this. It's going to last at least to the third Sunday of Lent. Now, I was pulling up here, and I got a little confused, and I got a little worried. I saw all these cars. And I thought there must be a mistake. They must have invited the bishop to talk. I mean, wow. You're a glutton for punishment, because I've been invited a number of times with the LDCCW ladies at Hastings a couple times, and it's here. But I love talking to you ladies. I really, really do. And I've been up to the DCCW ladies a couple times. They're a glutton for a punishment, too. And it's up there at Halsey and the forest, and they planted all these trees, and it's been up there a couple times. And one time I went up there and it snowed like crazy, and thought I'd have to stay up there. But I'm going to talk a little bit about a number of things, one of them which is suffering. And I hope I don't inflict too much suffering on you listening to me all day. But suffering, it's evil. Suffering is an evil. There's nothing good about suffering. Oh, but wait a minute, Jesus suffered on the cross. I'll get to that. But suffering in and of itself is an evil. There's nothing good about it. Someone gets a call about they've got cancer, some incurable disease, an accident, and one of the first reactions is to get angry at God. And God doesn't, I'm going to give Charlie cancer, or I'm going to have this little baby die of whatever, and they get mad at God, and that's what the devil wants. But suffering's an evil. And then the question is, can God bring good out of evil? Well, it depends on what you mean by bring good out of evil. Abraham in the Old Testament is such an important figure, because he was going to sacrifice his son Isaac, get ready to do it. See, Abraham prefigures God the Father, and Abraham prefigures Christ Jesus, his son, the only beloved son. So I'll get more to that later in my homily. But when suffering is offered up for someone, then there can be good from suffering. Reparation for your own sins, souls in purgatory, offering them for others. So our Lord, He suffered and died on the cross so that we who are dead in sin may live. So redemptive suffering. So there's nothing good in suffering in and of itself, is what we do with suffering. So somebody that enjoys suffering, they're nuts. My favorite pain is dental pain. You know, I don't brush and floss purposely, so then I let the decay go really down by the nerve, and then I go in, I said, give me a root canal, doc. I just love it. You know what a nut. St. Paul did not say, I rejoice in my suffering because I love suffering. He says, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. I make up what's missing in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of others, in the body, the church. So our Lord didn't suffer just to suffer. He suffered to save us. When I was a little boy, I'd have a headache. Mom would say, offer it up. I didn't know what she meant. But it's Colossians 1:24. That's a passage that would be good to get to know. Colossians 1:24. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Because Christians who aren't Catholic say, Jesus did it all on the cross. He did and he didn't. He did. But he didn't in the sense that he lets us complete his sufferings. That's what St. Paul says, I complete the sufferings of Christ. I make up what's deficient in the sufferings of Christ. Christ's suffering aren't deficient. But they are in the sense that our Lord, since we're part of his body, aren't we? We're part of the body of Christ, the church, mystical body of Christ. He's the head, we're the members. So when we suffer, it's him suffering in his body. Saul gets knocked off the horse and there's Jesus, he's blinded, and he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Persecuting him? He's in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. What do you mean persecuting him? In his body, the church. Saul was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, imprison Christians. Christians would be put to death. Why are you persecuting me? So when we suffer, it's Christ's suffering. Famous story of St. Mother Teresa. I think it was a priest. Walked in to this room to see this paralyzed boy. All he could do is squeeze his hand. He could breathe. And he was clutching this crucifix. And this priest walked to the room. He says, where's the crucifix? And Mother Teresa says, right here, meaning the kid. Of course, the kid had a little crucifix in his hand. And the priest, thanks for the reminder, Mother. Christ was in that bed, suffering. This kid wanted to go in the seminary to become a priest, and he says to Mother Teresa, and he also said to this priest, he says, I'm doing more good here in this bed than if I would have been a priest. He's rejoicing in his suffering. For other people's sakes, he's making up what's missing in the suffering of Christ for the sake of others. Like a little boy wanting to help his dad restore a 57 Chevy. His dad has a shop. The engine lift. The stuff to bore the cylinders. There might be a motorhead out there. I don't know. Yeah, see? One, it, see? You got to rebuild the water pump, all that stuff, do the rewiring and all that, and he has it all. He had a thing to put the car up, sandblaster, compressor to do the paint. He lets the little boy help. Daddy, can I help you? Does daddy need help with little boy? No. But he lets the boy help. He soaks some bolts in some WD-40 and rubs some rust off and helps him mix the paint. So when that car wins the blue ribbon at an auto show, by the way, we're going to have an auto show in May. As opposed to my ugly truck contest that we had a number of years ago. It was a total disaster. We're going to have a little auto show. So when that car wins first place, little boy can say to his friends, the little chest is sticking out. I helped dad restore that. Is it true? You better believe it. What comes a restoration of humanity? Our Lord's hanging on the cross. Does he need our help? No. But he lets us help. There's so much wasted suffering. Now, I'm sure some of you heard this story, but I'd like to just say it again. It's about my cousin, Sister Reginalda Jeffrey. I'm just curious. Anybody remember her? Know her? One. Bonnie, remember Sister Reginalda? Yeah, you're just shy. You don't want to put your hand up. She was a religious sister, a Dominican sister. She was my mom's first cousin. So when I was a little premature baby, she looked at me and the Lord said, pray for him. Pray for this little baby. Because he's going to be a priest someday. So they did a CAT scan on me, found out my skull was real thick. It took years for grace to penetrate the dense bone. Very tough, compact bone. So she prayed and prayed, nothing happened. Prayed and prayed, nothing happened. Sister Celeste Marie, you got all these sisters praying, nothing happened. And when I got into medical school and started practicing all that, Sister Celeste Marie said to, we called her Molly, Irish for Mary. That's Sister Reginalda. What do we do? What do we do? Keep praying. And I always had this gnawing, this disturbance in my heart. Whenever I went on a date with a young lady, it was there. It was just gnawing at me. And you can push anything away. You can rationalize anything. And we all resist God's will. Don't we? We all do. You can rationalize anything. And I thought, well, you know, she's just not the right one. The right spouse for me is the church. That's my spouse. But you continue to pray, nothing. Late 30s, nothing. Now, one of the risk factors, a number of risk factors for to contract breast cancer, never having been pregnant, not breastfeeding, contraception, abortion, those are all risk factors. Well, religious sisters there have a higher incidence of getting breast cancer. She got breast cancer, and it wasn't diagnosed in time, and it metastasized to a lot of her bones. And I visited her a couple times, and I'll never forget at her funeral. I was the only relative at her funeral. Mom was taking care of her mother. My grandmother was on her deathbed. And I'll never forget at the wake service, not wake service, at the luncheon, funeral luncheon. You know, all the religious sisters, they're always happy. Did you ever see a depressed religious sister? Even when they're depressed, they're happy. See, most religious orders now, they take advantage of all those plastic surgical, and then they get Botox here, and then they, when they're... when they frown, it's a smile. Because it's just how you inject it with the muscles, you know. You think I make this stuff up, don't you? Why is it when I start telling a story, people say, Father, is that true? I don't know. But they brought her all her lifelong possessions out at this luncheon. Her estate. And since I was the only relative there, I got first dibs. Everything fit in a shoebox. She was a rich woman spiritually. Everything fit in a shoebox, I mean, think of it. So I have her medal on. Well, she suffered terribly because of the metastatic breast cancer. You want to guess one of the persons she offered that suffering for? Me. So having breast cancer, that's an evil. But what you do with that suffering, there can be a lot of good. I would not be here talking to you if she wouldn't offer that suffering for me. She rejoiced in her suffering for my sake. She made up what's missing in the suffering of Christ for the sake of the body, i.e. me. I can't wait to see her in heaven. Embrace her. When her body rises from the dead, it's going to be perfect. She's a very pretty girl. She went into the seminary at age 14, and I think one of the uncles says, we'll take her. Why don't you want her? Well, you know, they went in so early back then. Redemptive suffering. There's power in suffering. Now, I want to ask everyone here a perfect question, and I want a personal question, and I want involvement here. Is there anyone here? And I want you to be honest. I want you to raise your hand. And you can turn around and see who raised their hand. I don't care. In fact, I encourage it. And then you can tell everyone, and you talk about it. Is there any woman in here that doesn't have any crosses? I didn't think so. And I just bet you that some of you have some heavy crosses. Don't waste those sufferings. Because there's power in suffering. If you don't know of anyone that's left the church, I've got a number in my family that have left the church. Or if you don't know of anyone that needs prayers, and I know that's not true either, call me, I've got a big list. offered up for reparation for your sins, conversion of sinners. And then here's another thing. I was reading a book in the seminary by St. Alphonse Liguori, Duties and Dignities of a Priest. And he said something there, and a bell, boom, went off. A light bulb went off in my mind, and I've been doing what he suggested ever since. And it ties to the scripture passage, Colossians 1:24. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. I make up what's missing in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of the others. Here's another question I could ask, and no one will raise your hand. Does the devil ever tempt you? Father Coulter, you're next. I'm done with these ladies. I'm out of here. In fact, we're going to call a bishop on you. You want to know when the devil is directly tempting you? Because all temptations, the devil's involved, but sometimes indirectly. So you see something, reminds you of something, that's an indirect temptation. But when the devil tempts you directly, you try to push it away, it comes back, push it away, it comes back. It's like that little dog after the postmaster, after the postman, postwoman, post, you know, whatever, postwoman, postman, and then you got the little mace out, and you know, and it's a smart dog. It gets out of the way of the path of the psst, psst, and it just comes back. So you pray, and that temptation is dogging you, comes back. The devil is directly tempting you. So if you ask me, how many times a day does the devil tempt me? I can't count that high. And calculus was not my favorite. I didn't like calculus. Well, I guess I'd have to use calculus to figure it out. But you know what I do when the devil really gets me? I make him pay dearly. It's all right, you want to mess with me? I offer these sufferings because there's suffering involved when you're being tempted. Correct? I mean, when you're fighting anything, it's suffering. If you want to mess with me, I offer these sufferings for the sake of sinners that are, and I, St. John Vianney said, offered up for sinners, conversion of sinners. But I turn the thermostat up even more. Imagine right now, if somebody's being tempted right now, like, how much longer is Father going to talk? I can't take it anymore. Offered up for conversion of sinners, but I make it nuclear. Right now, for example, there are people in mortal sin. You die in mortal sin, a person is, their soul is lost. They're damned. They go to hell. It's over. And there are people right now in this world, sons and daughters of God have rejected God. And they don't have sanctifying grace in their soul right now. There are people in their hour of death, and they're not in the state of grace. So I tell the devil, go ahead. I offer this up for sinners that are in their hour of death and mortal sin for their conversion. Either they get a priest for the sacraments or they make a perfect act of contrition. That's what I offer this mess up for, this tremendous struggle for. I offer it up for that. And guess what? St. John V said it works well. It works well. It's amazing. Especially for sinners in their last hour. Because if you can imagine somebody in mortal sin and they're in the last hour of their life, the devil's worked that person's whole life to get him in on their deathbed, the last hour of life in mortal sin. And the devil is not infinite. They're creatures. He's finite. He doesn't have infinite energy. Everyone knows what their weaknesses are. The devil's not going to tempt me to do a line of cocaine or buy a fifth of Johnny Walker. I mean, we know what our weak areas are. He's finite. He only tempts you in the areas of your weaknesses, whether it's anger, gossip, whatever, fill in the blank. So the devil is not infinite. He only has finite powers. He's very powerful, but he only has finite powers. So I offer this for people in there, and God knows. I said, you send it to whoever you want. Somebody dying in mortal sin. And guess what? Most of the time, the devil leaves me alone because he doesn't want to lose those sinners. But every once in a while, the devil lets me have it, and I rejoice in my sufferings for whoever it is. I just made up what's missing in the suffering of Christ for the sake of the body of the church, namely somebody dying in mortal sin. I just helped save a soul. Sisters, we can help save souls with our suffering. That's why we rejoice. I got to tell you this story. You like stories. How much time do I have? All day. I bet you somebody has heard this story. I like telling this story. I heard this story at the Catholic Medical Association meeting last fall. And I've heard stories like this before, and I imagine some of you have too. But there's this lung doctor who had this patient in the ICU, and so by definition, when you're intensive care unit, you're on the heart monitor, right? Beep, 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 beep. Got IVs. Not everyone is on a ventilator, but IVs and a heart monitor. It's a lung doctor. And this guy died. Flatline. And so the code team, since he's in the ICU, boom, they're in there within seconds. And they're doing CPR. And they're pumping stuff in his IV. Has anybody here heard me say this story? Good. I don't want to be a repeater, which I am. So this guy dies. His heart stops. And they're doing CPR. And nothing. Let's go a few more minutes. Nothing. Let's go a few more minutes. Nothing. Most doctors don't like to give up. You know, the higher you go up in the educational plane, the more prideful you get. Nobody wants to give up. Not when there's a life on the line. And it was during that time, during CPR on this patient, that this patient later said that he met Jesus Christ in judgment. There's this passage in Hebrews. When we die, we're immediately judged. That's our individual judgment. The judgment on the last day, that's the general judgment. Souls will come from heaven, purgatory, hell, get their bodies back. And then angels will separate us as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. We're going to be on the right side, right? Right side of Jesus. He's going to say many things. We're going to get judged many things, but when our Lord told the story in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, he talked about you fed me, you clothed me, you visited me. This is Mother Teresa's favorite passage. When did we do that? When you did it to the least, you did it to me. And all those people on the left, you know what he's going to say. So there was this guy. And Jesus said to this man, and they're still doing CPR. They're getting ready to give up. Let's go a few more minutes. And he said, Jesus looked at him and said, I gave you so much in your life. I gave you so many gifts in your life that you only used for yourself. You're damned. There he was. I blew it. Can I tell you a personal story? I don't know whether to tell you this or not. I mean, I heard Benedict Rochelle say one time, I'm not holy. I thought he was really holy. Well, you know what? I want to be holy. So I don't want to tell you the story and say, oh, Father Kubat's holy. I got a long way to go, ladies. But I want to be holy. Don't all of you want to be saints? There's only two things necessary to become a saint. I want to be a saint and then do it with God's grace. But I woke up in the middle of the night. I haven't really told this story to very, very few people. And again, don't tell me. Don't say, hey, Father Kubat's like Saint Faustina. I'm not. I don't wear a habit. I shave every morning. I have to tame the savage beard with cold steel every morning. And there's, you know, she was really holy. But I wake up. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I knew I was in hell. I was in hell. And every moment seemed forever. And I knew I was never going to get out. And the despair was, it was like this pressure. And I knew I would never experience love. And I didn't have love in my heart. I had nothing. It was empty. It was the most horrifying, horrible. Just like sitting on a plane in the middle and you don't have any room. And you're flying to the Holy Land and you get a blood clot. It was awful. I can't explain what that felt like. So I grabbed my rosary and I just started saying my rosary. And it was the most horrible feeling. And, of course, no physical pain, but there's physical pain in hell too. Our Lord wanted me to know this is what it's like. Why? To do more for souls. You know, ladies, like not wasting your sufferings, accepting your sufferings, embracing your cross, not complaining. What does Jesus say? Take up your cross daily and follow me. I bet this guy who was told he was damned, I bet he said the rosary here and there. Do you say your rosary every day? I bet a lot of you do. And if you don't, I would encourage it. Not just for yourself, but for others. It's a powerful prayer. I don't feel like saying rosary. Neither do I. Welcome to the club. It's a prayer from the Bible. What's the Hail Mary? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. I want Mary praying for me at the hour of my death. I want her praying for me now, especially when I'm talking to all of you. Pull up and there's all these cars. Oh my goodness. Then they pass out the critique this conference. Oh, no. Too much ashes on his forehead. But it matched his cassock. You know, it was coordinated. So there was this guy. He's damned. Boom, out of nowhere was the Virgin Mary. I'm just curious, has anyone ever heard of these stories before? I have. This is not the first time Mary's done this. I mean, this is one of the selfish reasons for saying the rosary. And there was Mary, and this guy's going, oh boy. And she looks at her son and says, son, son. You know, I've got a number of mothers. The Blessed Virgin Mary is my mother. I got a mother in Omaha. I got a Lincoln mother. I used to have a Milwaukee mother. Son, would you give him another chance? Son, he'll do better this time. And Jesus turns, looked at his mother, and says, for you. For you, I'll give him another chance. We have a heartbeat. We have a heartbeat. And the doctor's thinking, look at us. Right. It was a pertilium. I don't know. We have a heartbeat. And this guy leaves the hospital normal. And now all he does is goes around talking about divine mercy. the chaplet, the prayer that we just said. However, before we can receive mercy of God, which is available to everyone, we have to first do what? Huh? Yes, and what else? It's a message of John the Baptist. Repent. There's a lot of people have a lot of soul, a lot of sins in their soul. I'm on an airplane one time. I'm sitting next to this woman, probably 30, and she's disturbed I sat next to her. She wouldn't look at me. She's angry. What did I do? I put deodorant on. I go, it's not, I go, it's not my breath. Put a lifesaver in. She wouldn't look at me. So I took my rosary out. And I didn't say, hey, everyone, I'm saying, you know, but how many times we'll be on a plane? Oh, I can't say my rosary. I can't take my rosary out. People will see me. Come on now. So I say my rosary and I put it away, kiss the crucifix, and I look at her and I said, I just said my rosary for you. She had streaks like this here. When there's just a couple minutes, I was hearing her confession and she had some skeletons, let me tell you. And after the words of absolution, I thought, then came the tears of joy. And then I thought I'd have to start an IV because she was dehydrated. She repented. And that's the name of the game. And that's what Lent is all about. Repenting. Right? I like when I put ashes on, I like to say, you are dust, to dust you will return. But one of the options is repent and believe in the gospel. And that's one of the options. And that's a good option, but I like, you are dust, baby. And dust you're going to return. It reminds me of the resurrection. Because we're going to rise from the dead. This is what Lent and Easter is all about. So why do I tell you this story about this man? It's because only a selfless soul, somebody that's not selfish, will be able to offer their sufferings for others. Frankly, a soul that's self-centered and selfish, they're not going to offer their sufferings for others. They're going to complain about it. And they're going to be angry about God about it. Why did you do this to me? And people leave the church. I know people that of people, and we all know people that have left the church because we're born to die because of original sin. In the next life, the eye isn't seen, the ear isn't heard, the mind can't even conceive what God has set aside for those who love him. Do you know how beautiful we're going to be in heaven? No wrinkles. The ultimate plastic surgical job. Perfect bodies. And we're not going to need clothes to cover up our bodies. There's not going to be clothes in heaven. What were our first parents like before the fall? They were naked. Why do you cover up something beautiful that God created? There's not going to be clothes in heaven. And there's not going to be effects of original sin. Look at each other and like, oh boy, none of that. Perfect happiness forever. And so Lent is also a good time to work on the virtue of hope. Because without hope, our faith is frankly worthless. Because if we know heaven exists and we have no hope of getting there, so as we suffer, we need to look forward to the reward God has prepared for us. And the truth is, God has set aside and prepared a place for all you ladies. And it's beautiful. There's no time in heaven. It's going to be one moment that will last forever. So we need to work on the virtue of hope as well.